Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Devil Take the Hindmost, A History of Financial Speculation by Edward Chancellor, is a wide-ranging narrative of how people, markets, and institutions have repeatedly been drawn into speculative manias. Spanning centuries and multiple countries, the book tracks the recurring mix of innovation, easy credit, persuasive stories, and social pressure that turns normal risk-taking into collective obsession. Chancellor, a financial historian and journalist, connects famous episodes such as early modern bubbles, 19th century railroad booms, and 20th century market frenzies to the development of modern finance. Rather than treating speculation as a rare pathology, he portrays it as a persistent feature of capitalist economies, one that periodically reshapes laws, regulations, and public attitudes toward money. The book balances storytelling with analysis, showing how reputations are made and destroyed, and how governments and central banks often react after the damage is done. Readers come away with a sharper sense of why bubbles feel rational at the time and why they keep returning. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, speculation as a recurring human and social impulse. A central theme is that speculation is not merely a technical market activity, but a human behavior that flourishes under certain social conditions. Chancellor emphasizes the roles of ambition, envy, fear of missing out, and the desire for rapid status advancement. Manias spread through imitation. Once early participants appear to prosper, wider circles interpret participation as prudence rather than gambling. The book also highlights how narratives legitimize risk. A new trade route, a promising colony, a transformative invention, or a modernizing nation can become the story that converts uncertainty into apparent inevitability. Social institutions amplify this effect. Coffeehouses, newspapers, brokers, and later mass media provide the venues where ideas, rumors, and prices reinforce each other. The author treats crowd psychology as interacting with incentives, when employers reward short-term gains, when lenders relax standards, and when regulators appear permissive, individual caution is crowded out. The broader point is not that investors are always irrational, but that the same emotions and social dynamics repeatedly lead people to overestimate what they can know and control. This framework helps explain why very different eras produce remarkably similar boom and bust patterns. Secondly, credit, leverage, and the mechanics that turn booms into busts, Chancellor repeatedly returns to the plumbing of speculation, credit creation, leverage, and liquidity. Bubbles are not only about optimistic beliefs, they are powered by the ability to borrow against rising assets. When lenders are confident, collateral values climb, haircuts shrink, and financing becomes easier, drawing in participants who could not buy assets outright. This credit cycle creates a self-feeding mechanism. Higher prices expand borrowing capacity, which pushes prices higher still. The book explains how these dynamics appear in different guises across time, from early joint stock ventures and stock jobbers to more modern banking systems and margin finance. A key insight is that the bust is often triggered not by a dramatic change in fundamental value, but by a tightening of financial conditions. A policy shift, a bank failure, or a rise in interest rates can force leveraged holders to sell, revealing how thin true demand was. Chancellor also notes how leverage alters behavior. When gains are amplified, caution seems costly. When losses are amplified, panic becomes contagious. Understanding these mechanics clarifies why speculation can feel stable right up until it suddenly is not. Thirdly, innovation and new markets as catalysts for overconfidence. Financial manias frequently cluster around genuine breakthroughs. Chancellor shows how novel opportunities, whether commercial, technological, or financial, create uncertainty that makes valuation hard and storytelling easy. When reliable benchmarks are missing, promoters can claim that old rules no longer apply, and investors may treat early success as proof of a new era. The book explores how new instruments and market structures can widen participation and increase speed, both of which intensify swings. New exchanges, new forms of securitization, or new vehicles that promise access to previously illiquid opportunities tend to reduce perceived friction. That reduction can be beneficial, but it also lowers the barriers that once restrained speculation. Chancellor is attentive to the ambiguity of innovation. The underlying development may indeed be transformative, yet the market price can still detach from realistic cash flows and adoption timelines. In that sense, bubbles are often the shadow side of progress, financing experimentation, but misallocating capital on a large scale. The author's historical perspective encourages readers to separate long-term technological value from short-term market euphoria and to recognize warning signs when innovation becomes a blanket justification for any price. Fourthly, regulation, moral hazard, and the politics of market rescues. Another major topic is how states respond to speculative excess and how those responses reshape future behavior. Chancellor describes cycles in which a boom generates public enthusiasm and political support, followed by a crash that produces outrage, investigations, and new rules. Yet the book also highlights a more complicated feedback loop when market participants believe that authorities will limit downside damage, risk-taking can increase. This is the essence of moral hazard, and it can emerge through explicit bailouts, implicit lender of last resort expectations, or policies that prioritize market stability over punishment of excess. The author examines how laws and institutions evolve after crises, including changes to banking practices, disclosure expectations, and market oversight. He also suggests that regulation often targets the last crisis rather than the next one, because innovation and incentives move faster than rulemaking. Political considerations matter as well. Speculative booms create constituencies who benefit from rising prices, and those groups can influence policy until the reversal makes denial impossible. The book's historical sweep encourages readers to view regulation not as a simple solution, but as part of the cycle, sometimes dampening risk, sometimes displacing it into less visible corners. Lastly, practical lessons for investors and observers of markets. While the book is historical, it yields practical insights about how to think during exuberant times. Chancellor's episodes underscore that the most dangerous moments are when caution is ridiculed and success is attributed to brilliance rather than a favorable cycle. He shows how reputations become momentum trades. Celebrated speculators attract more capital, which improves performance temporarily, which draws even more followers. A related lesson is to watch behavior rather than slogans. If standards of underwriting deteriorate, if leverage becomes normalized, and if price gains are justified mainly by the fact that prices have been rising, risk is likely accumulating. The book also illustrates the importance of time horizon discipline. Many speculative assets can rise longer than skeptics expect, but the endgame tends to be abrupt when financing conditions change. Readers are encouraged to treat liquidity as a factor that can vanish, not a permanent feature of markets. Another takeaway is humility about forecasting. History shows that even informed participants misjudge turning points, so robust risk management matters more than perfect predictions. Ultimately, the practical value lies in pattern recognition. The details change, but the rhythms of boom, credibility, leverage, and collapse remain familiar. In conclusion, this book is best suited for investors, finance professionals, students of economic history, and general readers who want a clearer picture of why markets periodically lose their footing. It will also appeal to anyone who follows business news and wonders how smart people can repeatedly buy into fragile stories. The main benefit is perspective. By seeing speculation as a long-running cycle shaped by human nature, credit conditions, and institutional incentives, readers gain tools to evaluate today's excitement with calmer judgment. That perspective can improve real-life decisions, from managing personal risk and resisting crowd pressure to recognizing how lending and policy changes affect asset prices. Compared with many bubble books that focus on a single episode, Chancellor offers breadth and continuity, connecting disparate manias into a coherent pattern. The writing is analytical without being purely academic, and the range of examples makes the lessons more durable than a study tied to one era. If you want a book that deepens your understanding of both markets and human behavior, and that helps you spot the familiar ingredients of future frenzies, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Edward Chancellor, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.